This is possible. Well, in verse 47, these fishermen are not even mentioned. In verse 48, they are identified only as they. You remember what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 about this matter of fishing for men? Let me share it with you. Here's what he said. I have planted, now this is the symbol of sowing, gospel seed. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that plants, I get this, anything. Neither is he that waters anything. But it is God who gives the increase. God is to be all in all in all in all. That means that I don't make any difference except that I'm pronouncing the truth today. Don't be distracted by me. Don't let any eccentricity that I have or anything that bothers you distract you from the truth. Because the fisherman is to be as inconspicuous as possible. Not only so, they fish for a specific intention. They're after one thing and only one. They're after good fish. And that's all. Any fisher of men is after one thing. He's after good fish. Now, these men are not blamed when they get a mixed catch. And neither should anybody be blamed when he gets a mixed catch, because you can't tell the difference between good fish and bad fish. Always. Only God can tell. That's the reason there's going to be a separation at the end of the age. These fishermen were not blamed when they brought in bad as well as good. It was not a reflection on their skill that they got a mixed catch. But these are the gospel personnel. All right, the third thing here is the gospel process. And I wish I had a lot of time here. The gospel process. How does all this work? Listen carefully and don't miss a single inflection of a single word that Jesus used. This net, listen, was cast into the sea, and it gathered of every kind of fish, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but they cast the bad away. And I want to remind you that both kinds of fishes represent people who profess Jesus Christ. Some of them possess Him, some of them only profess Him. They don't know it. And this day is right on top of us, very soon now. Let's notice several things about the gospel process. First, he pictures the concern of the gospel. Where was the net cast? Somebody tell me. Into the sea. Now, over and over again, we've run into this in these parables. What does the sea stand for? The nations of the world, the masses of humanity. It's pictured in the 17th chapter of Revelation. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people. The waters represent them. That's what the sea stands for. In Isaiah 57, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. So the sea stands for all the peoples of the world. They are the concern of the gospel. God puts the net out indiscriminately to sweep in anybody who will come. He wants everybody to have the opportunity. And this is the concern of the gospel. That means that when a person is saved, he is drawn out of a deep, dark abyss of sin and error and ignorance that is just like the ocean floor. And that's the concern of the gospel. It reaches right down there to the depths and darkness of where people are. And it gathers them and invites them to profess Christ and come to Him, offering them Jesus Himself, that they might be what this parable calls good fish. They might make a proper response to Jesus Christ. Now, that's the concern of the gospel. Now let's note the casting of the net. It was done intentionally. And that's the way the gospel is supposed to be presented. It'll never happen if you don't premeditate the doing of it. In one way or another, those people are always going to, but never quite know how or what, they'll never do it. It was done intelligently. It was done indiscriminately, just like in the parable of the soils, where every soil had to have a chance to produce. Every water has to have a chance to give its yield. And so the casting of the net is simply done into the sea. Now note the catching of the fish. And be careful here. It gathered fish of every kind. Some of them are identified as good. Some of them are identified as bad. Now, we have to be awfully careful there, because here's the usual interpretation of the natural heart. And if this is your interpretation, you ought to check your heart. The natural heart says the good is the person who's just decent. He's moral. He's nice. He pays his debts. He takes care of his family. He's sweet. He tries to be as good as he can be. Now, that's the natural interpretation. And obviously, the gospel does not teach that. The natural interpretation is that the bad are those who are profligate in their sins. That means they just run rampant. They do whatever they want to do, and they don't care who gets in the way or whether it hurts them or anybody else. They just do whatever they want to do. That's the usual interpretation of this. Friend, there is only one good person in the eyes of God, and that's the person who's made right by the grace of Jesus Christ, and that's all. There is no other good person. All your goodness you can just forget. All your supposed goodness is worthless in the sight of God. He says your righteousnesses, that's the best you can do, are like filthy rags in God's sight, like shaking a dirty mop in God's sight. And every man at his best state is altogether vanity, just an empty breath of air in God's sight, worthless to him. That's the reason Jesus came, to make you right and thus to make you good as far as God is concerned. And the bad, who are they? They're not people who are morally bad. There are going to be a lot of morally bad people in heaven and a lot of morally good people in hell. That's got nothing to do with it. The bad are those who make a wrong response to Jesus Christ and are totally worthless to God. They're the bad. And there's a catching of all kinds here. Jesus pictures the effects, the results of gospel preaching. There is a mixed profession, so that any time you give an invitation, there may be a lost person who comes down professing Christ. There may be a person who is being saved come down professing Christ. You don't know. That's the reason a person should look at the Word of God to see if he is responding to Jesus on Christ's terms and not his own, to know whether or not he's saved. And then we note the collecting of the good fish. Now don't miss this. When those fishermen drew the net to shore, they sat down and gathered the good fish into vessels. Now that is the primary program of this age when somebody is won to Christ. That's the primary program. Here's what that means. We are to deliberate over everybody who comes. And knowing Christ ourselves, we are to feel for the Christ in that other person. Now if it is not there, if he is not there, evident to us, something is wrong with us or something is wrong with them. But when your heart is right with God and there is no sense of Christ in that person who professes Christ, Jesus says, leave him alone. Gather those who have made a right response and have been made right with God and are good in God's sight and growing in grace and living in the Word and prayer and supporting the advance of the gospel in truth. Gather them into vessels. That means as the age rolls on, there's going to be a fellowship, association of the true believers in Jesus Christ. If you're not in one, you'd better be awfully careful. I don't mean a church. Many churches don't even have anything like that. They're more social gatherings than they are blendings of spirit in a fellowship with one another in Christ. But they're to be gathered together into vessels. And the others are just to be put aside. And elsewhere we're told that they're to be left alone. Now, if God works on them through that fellowship, wonderful. Join them to the fellowship. If not, you cannot touch them. God hasn't been able to, so leave them alone. And the church is made up of both kinds. And that's what Jesus said. When are we ever going to listen to what he said? Now note, the work of the fishermen did not cease when they drew the net to land. They were responsible to gather in the good fish and put them in vessels, to get them in associations together. That is one of the primary works of this age in the cause of Jesus Christ. It is to create fellowships of believers that will be sources and centers of power, the release of the Holy Spirit in the earth, so that they turn right around and put out the net, as it were, again. Now, the last thing here is the gospel prospect. And this is what this parable is really all about. The gospel prospect. Listen to what he said. So shall it be at the end of the age. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And it doesn't make any difference who laughs about that or who accuses God of saying, well, God wouldn't be just if he did anything like that. He wouldn't be just if he didn't do that. This is the great moment of separation. Now, you can't help but notice there is a difference between the parable and its interpretation right here. He didn't interpret all the parable, only a little part.